Thanks for listening to this edition of the LANCO Worship Link Training. Each month, we get together to inspire, connect, and equip local worship teams. Find out when the next event is at lancoworshiplink.blogspot.com. Here's this month's training.
My prayer tonight is that you go away with at least one thing. That was my prayer driving over here, that everybody goes away with at least one thing new that you can do on Sunday, maybe not this Sunday, but maybe coming up in the future, that you might be revitalized, refreshed, encouraged in some way, some new ideas about thinking about planning worship or something like that. I have been, as Gerald said, I've been a worship, he said seasoned. That just means old. Yeah, that's good. I am. I'm 52. I've served in churches in Michigan, grew up in Michigan, Detroit area. Met my wife there, my wife Cindy, who we've been married 28 years. We have one son, Jonathan, who is 24. He just became a worship pastor back in the fall. He's in Rochester, New York, worship pastor, youth leader, tech, which means basically he does everything that the pastor doesn't do. Church of about 300. So we're excited for him. He's getting married at the end of the summer. We have one son, so we're excited about that. Like I said, I've served in a couple churches in Michigan. I was in Minneapolis, Minnesota for 11 years. I was in Youngstown, Ohio for 11 years, and I've been here at Manor Church in Lancaster, just south of Mountville, for 3.5. So love the area, love the people, and I really appreciate the opportunity of coming and sharing with you tonight. I think a lot of times when I'm going to talk about planning, steps to planning effective worship services. Like I said, I've been planning worship services for 30 years. I plan traditional services, blended services, contemporary services. The church I'm at now, we do more blended contemporary, but leaning more contemporary. I've served in smaller churches. I'm serving at a larger church now. So I think I'll be able to relate to where you are because I've been there. Again, because I'm seasoned, all right? So anyway, we're just going to have a good time tonight. I think a lot of times our services kind of look like this. Like we're not really sure where we're going and what direction we're going. Sometimes it feels like the pastor is going one way, and then the youth director took it another way, and then we go over the tracks, and then it gets really bumpy, and like what happened to the service, and we're not really sure where we're going in terms of the service, in terms of what did we really want to have happen today, what did we expect God to do today, and then we go, was it a good service, bad service? Felt good, not too sure. But I think a lot of times it has to do with our planning. And so that's what I want to focus on. Whether we feel like it's a good service or not, I mean, that's up to God to really determine that and determine the fruit of what comes out of that. Sometimes a service, I think, basically has not gone well, or I think, man, I wasn't really on today in terms of on. I felt like my heart was prepared, or maybe just not. I'm just feeling lousy physically because we've got a cold or a sinus infection or something, but you're still on. You still got to go, and you just got to lead worship, and somebody will come and say, man, that was great, or they'll send a note. It's like, well, thanks, God, that you're working, even though I didn't feel like things were working. But I think in terms of making sure that services are effective, I think there's a number of things that we can do to do well, to be effective and accomplish that. Gordon Fee said, show me a church's songs, and I'll show you their theology. What you do as a worship leader on Sunday morning is critical. It is important in people's lives. As I was driving over tonight and asking God what to say, I mean, I'd already prepared, but I had this thought. When I get on my deathbed, I'm probably not going to remember a sermon. Like, Pastor, can you preach that sermon again to me? Now, we kind of laugh at that, and no offense to the pastors that are here. But I'm going to think, and maybe as a musician, maybe it hits me a little bit differently, but I'm going to remember some of the great songs that I've learned that have helped me walk through the valleys and through the hard times. And there are hard times in ministry. Don't let anybody tell you that it's differently. You'll be criticized, you'll be bypassed, and everybody thinks because they own a radio, they know how to run a music program or know how to run a worship ministry. Some people do. And some people are gracious and supportive, and you love those people. But I think in terms of, when we get to the end of life and we think, what can I remember today? And maybe, maybe we're in a semi-comatose state or something. We'll think of some of those great songs that we've learned. And I think we have that responsibility of teaching people great songs. You can call them hymns or choruses or whatever you want. Just good songs that teach us about God. So we want to sing songs that feed and teach the congregation, not just entertain them or just make them feel good. Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3 said that we're supposed to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. There's three categories. I call it the three musical spiritual food groups. Psalms are basically from the book of Psalms. Hymns can be defined as songs that are talking about God's character. And then spiritual songs can be other songs, or can literally mean odes, songs maybe that are personal. So we have three categories to choose from. And I think we can choose from all of those and help. In terms of thinking about lyrics, there's three different kinds of lyrics, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. But there's objective lyrics that tell us something true about God, that help us to get to know him better. Most of the hymns of the 18th century are based on these objective truths. It's content-based. And then second, there's subjective lyrics that expresses our responses to God, such as love or longing or conviction or adoration. Don't assume that just because we use a lot of first pronouns, me pronouns, I, me, that's wrong. In Psalm 86, it uses I, me, and my 31 times in 17 verses, but we know where the focus is. The focus is on God. So God delights in strong emotions as responses to him. And then the third type of lyrics are reflective. It describes what we're doing when we worship God. So we bring him our offering, we bring him our praise, we sing, we lift up our hands, we bow, we pray, we listen, all of those things. So that's just those are some of the things about lyrics. When we don't major on objective truth, then our songs can drift into emotionalism and worshiping our own experiences. So then it becomes all about feeling. But if it's all head lyrics, then it becomes dry and it can feel rote. So we need a good balance of both. So how do we do that? I think one of the ways that we can do that is to have epic services, as Leonard Sweet said. We have epic services, and they should involve being experiential, of being participative with people, that it's image-driven. They have things that they can look at in terms of things up front, and we're also being creative. It's not the same thing every week. I realize that we'll all end up with our own liturgy in terms of how we usually do church, because if you change dramatically from one week to another, then people go, I don't know what's coming, and then it throws them a curveball. So you're going to have some type of a pattern, and that's okay. I understand that. But if we're not mixing up, sometimes it's like in the church that I grew up at, it's like, okay, 11 after prayer, 13 after song, 14 after announcements, okay? And then you could say exactly what the pastor, like, good morning, welcome to church. And you could, and the teenagers would mimic exactly what the pastor was going to say, because he said exactly the same thing every week. Well, that way you can just sort of check your brain out, because you could get up there and basically do it as well as the person up front, pastor, worship leader, whatever. So we want to be relational in terms of, you know, not being fakey up front, but we want to be creative too, and I think that keeps our variety as well. The purpose of the service, what's the purpose of the service that you're going to have coming up for this week in terms of what you think you're going to be accomplishing or what you hope God will want to accomplish? Is it to believe more strongly? Is there a truth that you really want to drive home that you want people to really know? Is it something that you want them to feel more deeply, God's love or compassion or caring for somebody else? Is there something that you want them to do more readily, on being willing to help out a neighbor or to serve, like in the nursery, because nobody really wants to serve there? Or what is the purpose for Sunday morning? What do you want to really drive? So those are three purposes that Howard Hendricks writes about. So that's just kind of introductory. So let's talk about song selection. What are some of the things that we can do to really help us plan well on Sunday morning in terms of some of the scope? I'm just going to share some of the things that I've learned. I'm taking the outline from Bob Coughlin's book called Worship Matters. It's an excellent book. I think of, you know, I probably have 50 books on worship, and this is the best one that I have found. It was written a couple years ago by Bob Coughlin, and it's a good blend of good basic theology, don't let that word scare you, as well as practicality. It's very practical. He tells you why, and then very practical things of what you can do, and you can take a look at that if you want afterward. I brought a couple resources with me up here. So I just want to tell you where it's coming from. The first thing, plan selectively. Sing songs that say something. And one of the things I appreciated about what they sang tonight is that we didn't sing hallelujah 27 times in a row. I mean, that's a great word. It means praise the Lord, as we all know. But it's like, but what are we teaching? In terms of what, you know, what they were singing tonight, there was a good variety. There were hymns, there were new songs, there were things that were a little slower, there were faster, there was a good variety of things. So when we're planning songs, I think the best thing to do is to look at the lyrics first without the music. I mean, the music is the thing that usually hooks our ears as musicians or as people. That's what gives it that connectivity with the song. But I think examining the lyrics without the music really helps us to look at it a little bit more objectively. Sing songs that are really strong scripture base, and you're not going to go wrong. I mean, the songs that we sang tonight, you could put scriptures to, you know, every two, three lines. Some of them you could put every line, and they're a good, strong scripture-based songs. So I think we want to do it that way. And communicating God's truth in a very clear and compelling way. 1 Corinthians 14:15 says, "I will pray with my spirit, and I will pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, but I also will sing with my mind." So there's a combination of heart and mind in both of those things. That is 1 Corinthians 14:15. Yep. So when we combine the words with music, do they rhythmically fit? Do they fit together? Can't say it very well, but you know what I mean. As it goes, like, is it how marvelous? You're wonderful. And it's like, okay, wait a minute. It's like, well, that's got a really cool hook musically. It's like, well, it really should fit. I mean, there are thousands and thousands of songs out there that you can find worldwide. Choose the best songs and find the ones that really connect well. Use ones that have memorable tunes. I find if I'm cutting the grass or I'm doing something and I'm thinking about that song and it's connected with me musically, that's usually one that's kind of bubbling up for me in terms of things that I'm listening for. Not just because I'm hearing it on the top Christian Hit 40 radio list, but you know, as I'm listening to a variety of things, God will usually help bubble those things up, and music is the thing that usually helps me connect. But I want to make sure that, again, it's really strong musically, but it's also memorable for me as well. So choose the most excellent songs, the ones that you really can't get out of your mind. It's like, man, that's a great truth. That's what our church is going through right now. We have a couple people that are going through cancer, probably maybe at your churches too. I'm sure we're all connected to somebody or we know somebody. And right now in the season of our church, we've got some people really going through some pretty deep waters. So I'm trying to be very sensitive in terms of what I'm asking God for us to bring to the forefront in terms of either great hymns or new songs. It doesn't really matter what that is, but speaking to people's hurt. Now, you realize that as you lead, and in your own experience as well, that people are going through times of deep waters. Now, sometimes they're less. Some people are on the mountaintop. They just got a new job promotion. They just had a new baby. That's great. We celebrate with those people. But a lot of people are just living in the valley, and they don't know where their next paycheck's coming from. They don't know if their spouse is going to die of cancer next week because of what the doctors just said. And so I think if we're sensitive to some of those things, that helps us to really be sensitive to what God wants us to say. So plan selectively. The second thing is plan peacefully. Take your time. Try to plan when you don't have any distractions. It's easy for us to just go, hey, that's just something I just need to check off the list and great, service is done. And I've caught myself doing that sometimes, like, man, I've got to get this done because other musicians are waiting for the music the next week just in terms of our system, or I got behind or whatever. But I want to make sure that I'm really taking time to really hear what God has to say. One of the things that I've tried to do consistently, and I don't do this every week, is to fast breakfast when I plan that day. It's usually on Thursday. So when I'm usually planning on really being intense on planning, is that I won't usually eat breakfast that morning. You know, I mean, if you need juice or you need some medication, obviously, that I understand. Maybe just have a couple crackers or something. But I'm really going to try. I'm going to say I'm going to try to practice that discipline of fasting, and saying, God, I really want to know what Your Spirit has to say to me today, and I'm bypassing my physical so that I can really hear the spiritual.
that I can really tune into what your Spirit says. And sometimes I've passed the lunchtime too, and I just feel like I'm not done in terms of preparation. And then I often will go to the piano because I'm a keyboard player, and I'll spend time in the Word, and I'll spend maybe some time worshiping, or I might listen to music, or I just spend time in the Word only, and then go into my planning. And I'm not checking emails or communication, not phone calls. It's just like, okay, this is me and God time. So I'm planning very peacefully, and I'm making sure I'm really concentrating on what God has to say. And it's during the best mental time of the day for you. Maybe it's in the evening. Sometimes I'm planning late at night. I get a little extra burst of energy. Since we don't have any kids at home, I can do that, and I don't have responsibilities in that way. Another thing is to plan at least 2 Sundays in advance. I'm usually working on services probably 5-6 weeks in advance. Now, it's nice if your pastor is like, you've got to be kidding. I don't mean I have them full. It's just I'm shooting out ideas. Now, my pastor is good about giving me themes, at least a title in a scripture. Now, he doesn't have all 3 points in a poem set for that day because he hasn't gotten that far yet. But in terms of what I need to get for my worship team has music 2 Sundays in advance, I mean, ready to go. Just I'm expecting they've got recordings and they know the songs that we're going to do 2 Sundays in advance. And that's just the way our system works. And that tells me, that lets them know I'm prepared and I'm expecting them to be prepared when they come to rehearsal. So it's like, if I'm just throwing a song like this last Tuesday rehearsal, it's like, here's a new song. It's like, well, how's it go? And then, you know, it's not really in our pores. We don't have the concept of how does this thing go or whatever. And I realize the pastor can throw you a curveball of terms of, hey, can you do this song this week? And then you just have to be honest, can we or can't we? But in terms of really planning peacefully, I think that's really important. So I know the scripture. I know the main theme and hopefully some main sermon point. And then as I'm looking at those weeks ahead, I see that we're going to talk about hope. Okay, great. Well, I can put in The Solid Rock, My Hope is Built in Nothing Less, or I Have a Hope by Tommy Walker. Okay, I'm just throwing those. I'm not really planning the service, but I just kind of know. And as I'm looking at the services, you know, I'm not just focused in on just this one segment for this week, but my brain is just always kind of moving, floating ahead to the next one. Then by the time I get there, I've got lots of different ideas, or I should have a number of songs already, and then I'm not looking at a blank piece of paper going, oh no, what am I going to do this week? Because that's where I was last week. So that helps me in terms of never, ever really looking at a blank page. And I realize, again, that's important that you work with your pastor closely on those things. Do most of you... and I'll just try to be careful here with the pastors that are present. Do most of you get at least a couple weeks notice as to what? Yes. How many? Yes. You get at least a couple weeks notice as to what's going on. No. Okay. No, most of you. That's fine. That's honest. Now, if you can, yes, pastors, please do that. There's a word of encouragement to you. Thank you, brother, and thank you for planning that. And pastors have busy schedules too. But you know what? It actually frees up your time. You'll realize that you're not running in quite as much of a crunch or that pressure zone because you've got a little breathing space.
Yes. Some of our best worship has been last minute, throw a song in,
yep.
Sunday morning practice. So for me, I'm lead once a month, and I'm doing it that week and, you know, getting it to Joe and everybody.
Yep.
But, I mean, sometimes some of our best work has been done last minute because the Spirit really works and comes on at that point.
That's good. I don't disagree that the Spirit can work at the last minute and quickly. I'm more of a planner. I understand. For me, if I'm throwing things at the band last minute, God might work through that song, but I don't know that I've done my best, I should say, in terms of really effective communication. Because it's not in my heart, it's not in my head, and it's not in my fingers either to play. I mean, it's just that I'm kind of winging this thing, and it's like, I'm depending on God to make this thing happen. It's like, all right, it was okay. Well, that's good, but I don't want to live in that stress zone. I think God can be in the planning process weeks and months ahead in terms of services, because God knows who's going to be present, and God knows the songs we should pick, and all those things. But I want to present my best to God, and if I'm last minute, I can't. Maybe that works for you. It doesn't work for me as well. I can't present my best because I've wrapped this present quickly and thrown it. It's like, no, I want to make sure I've got the whole meal there and not just throwing French fries. And French fries are good sometimes. I like those. But if it's every week fast food, then I'm not sure that if we're really setting our people up for. And I'm not saying the song is bad, but just, you know what I mean? I don't believe at that point. So there's a balance in that. We don't want to be so planned, like everything's got to be chunk, 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 chunk. I've got every measure planned out, and I've got every drum, you know, drum snare thing. I'm not saying it has to be all absolutely aligned like that, but I think good preparation allows us to be more free, actually, in worship and gives us a little bit more space. So that's a good point, though. I use a planning sheet or form every week where it lists there, it's a blank page, and I can show you I brought one, but it's everything from the prelude to the benediction. So I've got, you know, prelude, scripture reading, theme, all the songs, are we having drama, who's praying, you know, it's just all the things that we can possibly have, guest speakers, extra notes, and I'm just looking at that every week, and that's what I'm filling out as I get themes and So I know I haven't forgotten anything as I'm going down my master list. Also, I think it's good for us to remember that just because someone says it's a great song, don't feel like you're behind in terms of the times or something. God knows what the songs that I think that we need to do, and He's not confined only to new songs. We've got great songs in our history. So that's just a word of encouragement. A third thing, plan prayerfully. I think this is one of the most critical points, is that we need to really check our heart alignment with God. And our attitude first. Seek the Holy Spirit's direction. When you decide between songs, I mean, so now I'm looking at, you know, a list of 12 or 15 songs because I put some things down. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit for guidance and for wisdom. I'm going to say, God, help me to have a swaying of the mind. I mean, that's what prayer is, a swaying of the mind. God, I've got 12 songs and I have time for 3 this week. Which ones do you want me to do? And then I'll just sit there for a second. It's like, I want this one, this one. I don't know, fast, slow song, and I'm planning peacefully, I'm planning prayerfully, and then you know what, I'll sense, you know what, this is a better combination with this other song, or we haven't done this song for a while, or what the pastor says, this is a good connection point because he just gave that to me this last week, or a couple weeks ago, so I think that's a good thing for us to be remembering. I think we should do songs that serve others and not the ones that just make us look good. I mean, you know, I can do some great piano riffs or some great guitar riffs, or the drums can go really cool on some great Latin new song that we've heard, and that might be cool, but I think just checking our hearts of just saying, am I doing this because it's going to show how cool I am? And we're up in front. I mean, there's a performance aspect to it because we're elevated usually on a platform. But just to check our heart. Because people will criticize us for that, say, oh, it's just a show, and you'll always get that as worship leaders. Just know that that will just happen. But you just have to know that between you and God, that was the right thing. That's what God wanted you to do for that week, and rest in that. I think, just remember, don't rush, and need to have mind space. Just let, you can just go, you know, and think and ask God for what we should do. Bob Coughlin, in his book, he says, God wants to help us prepare, and he wants us to ask him for that help. We don't simply plan meetings, we plan for people. Ask God for songs that will serve those you're leading rather than ones that you like or will make you look good. God knows who will be attending and what will speak to them, and we may not. So we need the Holy Spirit to be effective. So that's just a reminder on that. The fourth point is plan with others. We benefit from other people's perspective. Sometimes the pastor is going to suggest a song. This is where it's important to really work closely with your pastor. Trust and good communication are absolutely essential and vital in terms of creating a good service. It's easy for me to work on my own as a musician and as a worship pastor. I mean, that's my responsibility, is to put the service together. But I also have a responsibility of making sure I'm coordinating everything else with everyone else. If I have a reservation about a song, I'll express that to the pastor. You might suggest something, you know what, I don't like that because it's just so repetitive, or I don't really know that that really says too much in terms of theologically, you know, good sound. He's like, well, he heard it on the radio. It's like, well, I think it's good, or it may be something that we need to put in our rotation list. But I think the final decision is left up to the pastor. I need to be reminded, and I think we also do, that we're here to serve the pastor wholeheartedly. And if you can't, then it may not be the church for you. I mean, there was a time that I sensed that I couldn't really serve the pastor wholeheartedly, and I needed to look for another church just because of some of the things that he was saying and doing. And it's like, you know what? I think I'm done serving in this ministry. But I also need to realize that just because I plan a service, it's not gospel. That things can change. It's like I've spent all this time on it. I might spend 5-6 hours on a service and just say, okay, I've got this song. So these are the ones I sense God wants us to do. And the pastor said, you know what? I don't want you to do that one. This song is going to work better for the closing song. And sometimes a little bit inside of me, and pride goes, but I spent all this time. And this is why I said, but you know what? The pastor has the trump card. And he knows what God wants. Okay, yeah, preach it. But you've also given your praise team 5 weeks' notice, okay? So there's the other half. That's right. And you don't pull that on the edge. So see, you feel that creative tension, and I think it's really important that kind of stuff can come between a worship pastor and a pastor and create tension. So I think we have to remember that it's this thing out here of we all want what God wants for us to do for that morning, whatever for our meeting is. But I said pastor trump card, but that means the pastor is responsible as well before God. So I think in working with him, again, he can't just keep throwing things at the last minute because that's not fair to the team for us to be excellent and serve God well. But also that there's some adjustment there. And I appreciate that about my pastor is that he'll say, and he did that this week. He asked me on Tuesday when we have praise band Tuesday night rehearsal, and he said, "Can your band do this song? Because this is really going to work better this Sunday than the one we had talked about last week." And I'd already planned the service; had already been planned for 3 weeks. And I go, "Yes, we can do it because we've done it before." So it's like, "Okay, now they've not listened to the recording; they don't have the music in hand." So I shot them all an email and said, "Hey, this is just a change, just so you know. So I'm going to try to give them as much preparation time as I can. But sometimes those things happen. But work closely with your pastor. We have the participation time and we have the proclamation time. So there's a balance of those two things. But it does help to keep our pride level in check. Doctrinally rich songs might need to be balanced with simpler or newer songs. Remember who's going to be present. You've got youth, you have seniors who may have kids, you have young adults, you have young families, you have unbelievers coming in, you have people that are seasoned in the faith. So who's going to be there in terms of your meeting? So in planning with other people, or the pastor or your worship team, that can just help us to keep a check and balance with some of that stuff. Plan thematically. I like doing this. Some guys do and some guys don't. Our unchanging theme is what Christ has done through his life, his death, and resurrection. And so what we're doing is we're highlighting a specific aspect of that gospel and how it affects us today. Now, you might get themes that's like, well, what's the theme? Well, either the pastor is going to give us a theme, with current message, or you might want to go off of what last week's message was to reinforce the points. Remember last week that our pastor said, God's love endures forever? Here's a song that reminds us about that. So you can go off of last week's theme if the pastor's not so good about giving you forward themes. So you can always refer back, and then you're supporting that way. Out of your personal devotion time, if God really impresses you strongly about, God, you are a mighty fortress and you're our strength, you're reading Psalm 46, and say, God, that really impressed me that week. So when you're planning that service, you can tell people that on Sunday morning. You know, God really impressed this song on me as I was planning that. He is our rock. He's our fortress when we're going through rough times. And you can have that same confidence in Christ. And share that just briefly, as a theme. I love to weave a group of songs together with scripture and prayer. I'll often start out with some type of a psalm proclamation. It is good to praise the Lord and give thanks to his name. You know, let's stand together and praise God for his goodness. Bang, go. Or I might have the congregation read a couple opening scriptures. Let's celebrate together in full voice. Let's read about God's greatness. God, you are great and mighty to be praised. And then we'll roll into a song about God's greatness. The guitar player, the drums might just be playing lightly behind. So you start to feel some of that energy, and you start to feel that, like, the train starting to roll. Instead of just going, good morning, It's good to have you here. It's like, let's get the meeting started. Let's start with some vitality or some, you know, people are still coming back from the foyer, you know, the lobby, whatever you want to call it. People get in late. So, we always start on time. We watch the clock very carefully. But also realize that church is a place that people want to connect together, and they haven't seen each other for a week or a couple weeks or whenever, and so they're going to hang out there to the last minute or come in late. But I'm not worried about those people. I want to start on time, and I'm going to start with energy. I want to start with the attitude of, I don't want you to miss anything. Man, we're going to have a great time this morning. And the people, if there's five people here, great, we're going. We're ready. We're ready to serve God and ready to praise Him. So that's what I want to do. So I'm weaving scripture and prayer together. I like to list my songs by themes or by words so that I can remember for the next time, whether it's words like majesty or glory or themes of God's love, peace, unity, salvation. And I'm going to keep a list of those songs in categories so that I don't have to think, oh, man, what are the songs about majesty? I can only think of one, but I really like to do four. So, what's the top? But if I've been keeping a list or a master list, then that can help me. All right, let me stop for a second and see if something you got a question or a comment on. Well, you can get the tape for only $19.95, and you can replay the tape back. Of hearing what I just said. In starting a service, I think we can start out there's different ways of creativity of starting a service. Instead of me giving you the answers of things I'm doing, let me ask what you have done to start out a service. What do you do? Give me two or three ideas of how we can start, whether you've done it or whether you've seen it done. Because I don't want this just to be a monologue. Go ahead. Start with a fast song. All right. Greet your neighbor. Okay. So, with music or just with music or without music? Greeting your neighbor. Without music, it's like, hey, good morning, good to have you here. Just greet your neighbor. All right, and that creates some energy or excitement in the room. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. Share a brief testimony just right up front. Mm-hmm. You could do that. Drum intro. Yep, that'll invite people in or scare them away. And you know your church. You know what is best on that. Because every church is different. It's like Baskin Robbins. There's so many different flavors. And you know what's going to work for your church. If you're doing more of a traditional service, probably starting with a big drum solo, that may not be the best way. It could be a way. It may not be the best way, unless you'd like to get a lot of emails that you haven't heard from people in a while and you just need a little extra fan mail, as we call it, coming through your email time that week. We usually start out with a song that has got some energy to it. Usually our praise band will start and do a prelude, and it's usually the song that we're going to probably do next. I mean, that we're probably going to lead into. Probably at least 98% of the time. That's just usually the way that we start, is that we're just starting with an energetic song. It could be All Hail the Power, it could be All Because of Your Love, or whatever song it is. It's an up song, and I like to concentrate on going vertical, like right away. Bang, we're praising God rather than, hey, how you doing? It's good to be in God's family. Nice to have, that type of thing rather than this way. I'm not saying you have to always do that, but right away I want to try to focus people's minds to go vertically if I can, because that's why we're here. It's not to focus on me or us, although it is us that is together. But I think I usually start out with a scripture, like I said, often from the Psalms, some type of a praise or exclamation. You say, hey, good morning, great to have you here at our church. You know, God's word says that, you know, and bang, I'm right into it. Or good morning, great to have you. I'm just going to do a fast, because we have a welcome later, so I'm just going to, but I don't want to be like, bang. Some churches will just start out and just say, and that'll be the first thing they'll say, God is great and greatly to be praised. Let's stand together as we praise Him. Bang. And so there's no really official welcome at that point. You're just like, bang, go. That's fine. You could walk in and say, hey, it's great to have you here this morning, piano's playing or guitar. And you say, hey, it's great to have, great to be here together as a group of people. I wouldn't say a group of believers because you don't want to offend non-believers. And it's like, okay, is it a clique or is it a club? You don't want to give them that idea. So say, hey, good to have you here. Thanks for being with us today. Hey, would you greet the person next to you and just say, hey, good morning, welcome. All right, and the band's starting to play, and as they're greeting, all hail the power, and then you're just float right into the service. We've started sometimes with a DVD, like an iWorship DVD. All right, so maybe the band's not playing, but we're running some type of a video that has words up front, and people can see that. And it's just a different way of starting. You may have a CD playing as people enter. Usually that helps you create some type of atmosphere or feeling as you want people to come in. You know, whether you're playing classical music, that'll give you one feel. If you're playing rap music, that gives you another feel. If you're doing the top Christian 40, that'll give you a different feel. So depending on whatever you're, and I'm not telling you whether your service is right or wrong, because there's lots of variety. So you have to sense what the feel is between you and the pastor and where your church is to give you that sense of opening. But I like to start out energetically. And you may want to start out and say, hey, good morning. As we start this morning, let's just start and thank God for a great week. God, thank you for a great... And bang, you're right into prayer. So you can start that way just to change it up. You could do that. Now realize that that's going to bring everything down. You know, and then if you want to start out if you weren't doing something down kind of like that, then you might want to start it like with holy, holy. Then you can start out with something like holy, 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 which starts a little bit more down or reverent feeling, something like that. And then you can drive into something that has a little bit more energy. You know, holy is the Lord or something like that. That might be a tie-in for holiness if you're just running a little bit of a package. And your pastor may or may not be talking about that theme, but maybe if he hasn't given you a theme, then you've got to create one. So talking about God's character is always a great theme. Whether you're talking about his holiness, his mercy, his grace, you know, characteristic that he's a rock, he's a fortress, he's mercy, whatever those things are, then you've got to hook up someplace to go. And then we're leading people somewhere in terms of the service. All right? Does that help a little bit? That's great. Some of you look like you're maybe just a little bit bored. So I don't know where did Tate go. He left because Tate asked me for some candy tonight, so I brought some. So he didn't know that. So if he's not, so don't tell him. All right. So now you don't get the whole bag. You've got to pass it around. All right. So anyway, because some of you look like you're getting a little tired, and it's been a long day, and it's 90 degrees outside. So I just make sure you're staying with me on this. All right. All right. Good question. Let's keep cooking. And don't leave the candy wrappers here because then the maintenance people are going to get, you know, it's like, who was that speaker? And then they'll never have me back. Yes?
Can you actually communicate, like, okay, we're doing a theme on grace. Do you say that?
No, good question. I do not say, this morning we are going to talk about God's grace and how it affects your life because I know where you live this week because I met with you. No, I'm not going to say that. What I'm going to do, that's a good question. I'm not going to say that. What I might do is to start out and say, our God is a holy God. He is great and to be praised. The angels around the throne are saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Let's stand together as we sing that great hymn. Bang, go. I'm not going to do a long introduction. You know, I'm going to do 2-3 sentences and then I'm rolling. I'm into it. Now, I've kind of introduced the theme because of the scripture that I've given, but I'm not going to tell them what it is. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, yeah. Or just hey, this morning as we think about God's holiness, you know, let's sing. Now I'm not saying our theme today is, but already I've put them on a road in terms of hey, this is where we're kind of thinking about today in terms of this characteristic of God. You know, and so that usually gives me a hook to say something rather than. Hi, we got this cool song, and it's got a great hook, and so let's sing it. It's like, well, sometimes you could actually, and it's like, all right, well, so? I mean, all right, so which radio station did you pull it off of? You know, it's like, so what does it matter? So, you know, I do want to tell them a little bit of, I want to try to give people a dart where we're going, and that's what I asked my pastor, is like, can you just give me a road or a dart to throw, where do you want us to go? And some pastors say, you know, I don't care really where you go because I'm talking about God's anger and there's nothing really, you know, that, you know. And I'm not finding a lot of songs that express that. So what I might do is to talk about God's love or something else, or just a good package of praise or something that just, we want to focus on God. It helps me to know a theme just in my own mind. That's the way that I plan. And I was talking with a good friend, worship leader, this week, and he just likes to plan just general songs. Well, great, God bless you. I'm just saying this is what works for me. So again, take what works for you, and may the stuff that's not worthwhile to you, then may it be as chaff and blow out of your minds, which it probably will be anyway. All right, let's go to the next point. Plan contextually. What's the demographic mix of the people, the spiritual maturity, the special occasion, or the event that you're planning? If you're planning some type of a special occasion, you'll want to be more specific about what songs you're selecting or planning. Or if a special event, if you're planning a 50th wedding anniversary and you're celebrating that as a church, or the anniversary of the church rather than somebody's specific anniversary, there might be, in terms of God's faithfulness, you might concentrate on something like that. Obviously, if it's Christmas, you're not going to probably sing Easter songs. And you understand that. One of the important things to know is, how much time do I have in total? How much total time do I have for this week? As I'm planning this week, we've got if there's baptisms, if there's dedications, the missionary from Zimbabwe is coming and he's speaking for 10 minutes. The pastor wants 40 minutes because he felt inspired, and you run a 60-minute service, that leaves room for 1.5 songs. If you stay at the 60-minute mark. So we try to keep our services around 62, 63 in terms of planning. Right there, and sometimes our services are pretty close, and sometimes they drift to 65, and if we've gone 70, then we've gone too long for us in terms of what we work, because we have another service that's coming. So, we need to get people out of the nursery because they're screaming for help, and, or whatever. And we just want to try to honor people's time, the mind can only absorb what the seat can endure. I think in terms of keeping things moving along, I have, in terms of my planning sheet, I have a time next to each item. Is this going to? And I plan either 4 or 5 minutes on the song, whatever that song is. And if you do a lot of hallelujahs, or you're doing a lot of weaving in with prayers or things like that, then you want to book time for that, so that so you're pretty close. If Patrick says, listen, I need 35 minutes this week, then it's like, okay, I'm probably going to have to bump maybe office song or something like that. Or maybe we combine the offertory and the announcements together. While someone's giving the announcements, they're taking the offering, and we don't have a special number. I don't know what special is, because it's the same every week. But anyway, you know what I mean? So you just have to combine things or package things differently for that week in terms of planning. But I want to know. So I'm really watching our time carefully. So I'm honoring the pastor's time, because God has given him things that he needs to teach us as a body. And I want to make sure I'm not encroaching on his time, but I'm complementing what he's doing. So that's been my approach. So I keep a time chart of everything that's going to happen. I might re-sing a new song that we've learned last week. I would encourage you not to sing a new song after the sermon, because people have been listening for a while, and they're not ready to really learn a new song at that point, unless the pastor says, we want to teach, because of this application, we want to teach this to you. That'd be fine. I probably would have introduced it earlier in the service. And then you can come back to it and say, all right, earlier we learned, or earlier we sang, let's sing that again. And then people have a hook to kind of pull on it. Is the music within the experience and understanding of the congregation? Some churches have an all-country service. That's their style. Or it might be all rock, or it might be all hymns. The people that you're serving, in terms of the people that God has brought to your congregation, do they understand the songs that you're going to do? If we kind of do a blending of contemporary stuff every week, and all of a sudden I throw some Bach motet at them, they're going to go, whoa, where did I just go? I'm not saying Bach motet is wrong. I have a classical music degree. I don't use it. I use the skills that I learned in terms of piano, but that's not the context in which we're learning, or which the environment that I'm trying to help them understand and experience worship. It's not in their It's not what they're expecting for this week. And you understand what I'm saying. So is the song and the style, is it the appropriate mood and feeling for the service as well? So I think that's important for us to remember. And again, use a variety. I think that's good. The next thing, plan progressively. I think it's really important to have good flow in terms of how do things fit together? How does a theme develop? How do different portions of the meeting connect? For example, you may have the idea of like exalt, encounter, and respond, which is kind of Psalm 95 or Psalm 100, kind of that feel. Or some people have the philosophy of gathering, word, table, dismissal. That would be another way of approaching the service. Or enter with joy or thanksgiving, move on to reverential worship, and then encounter God's voice. What's the progression of where you're taking people in terms of your regular meeting? I think it's important to use, we all use spoken transitions, but it's best if it's brief or personal and it's used strategically. Remember, the sermon is coming and we don't, as worship leaders, don't need to preach. I had a worship leader or a pastor tell me a couple weeks ago and said, oh man, the worship pastor that we have is just like, he's good, but he said he spoke for 10 minutes on Sunday. And it's like, well, that's great, but you know what? It's way too long. I'm not there to get. I'm there to help guide and lead people, and I want to do that very briefly. I want the songs to say what we're going to do, or the prayers, or the scripture reading, the things that is my portion of the service in terms of my responsibility for planning. Notice how songs begin and end. Use a good musical transition in between those. You don't want to go from something that's something slow. You're going like, he knows my name and sees, you know, each tear that falls into marvelous light. I'm running out of it. It's like, whoa, what happened? It was just like a musical slap in the face. It's like, what? There was no connection musically or thematically, and it's like, whoa, what happened? You feel like you just got musical whiplash there somehow. So I know some guys they'll just pray to lead into that, but I think, and that's great. That's one transition. Musically transition, you go to the same key or a related key. In terms of just where is it starting, where is it ending, and being aware of those things as a worship leader or musician, I think is important. A lot of times, one instrument to do the key change is better than the whole band. You know, just the keyboard or just the guitar. I mean, unless you've rehearsed it well. You know, just say, okay, guys, I'm going to go from here. Here's the four notes. Here's the four chords of transition, and then we're rolling into this one. Drummer, watch me. I'm going to give you the head nod because we're going to change tempo just a little bit. So there's good coordination in terms of what's happening musically there. Just because a song is played faster doesn't make people worship more passionately. It's like, okay, we can get them if we play it faster. No, it doesn't work like that. You might feel more frantic, or you might feel like there's more energy, but that's not it. Again, I think we're trying to manipulate people into trying to work them up into a frenzy. We're not a rock concert. Sometimes we're not a rock band. We're a worship band. There's a difference. If we can't hear the words, if we don't hear the words, then we'll just play. Yeah, because the words are connect with people. Can we play something that's soft and give people a time, prayer time, and just give them some soft instrumental music? Yes. But my responsibility as a worship leader is to help teach them through song God's truths. That's one of my main responsibilities. And I want them to connect with God and understand, you know, the lyrics that are going to carry them through this next week and to be an encouragement in teaching them. Because we're teaching people with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's what Ephesians 5 says. So that's part of our responsibility as worship leaders, is teachers. So I think it's important to say, where does my heart take me? And say, God, what do you want me to do next? Or how do we do this thing? Or as I'm working with a pastor, as I'm planning, I'm thinking, where does my heart take me now? Okay, so I sing through the song. Yeah, all right, what I'm sensing is, we should pray now. Or, you know what? This would be a good scripture. I wonder what a good scripture is to tie in on that theme. That would be a good thing for us to do transitionally. So that's another way of thinking about it. And again, focus on biblical truth. I think, too, we want to be careful about some of the distractions that we can have, too. Sometimes the slides are wrong, or words are missing, or the arrangement is different because we haven't checked it as worship leaders or music leaders, and it's our responsibility to check the slides. Okay, you can give it to somebody. You can delegate it to somebody, but it's my responsibility to double check to make sure, yep, that's right. And my assistant, she'll give me the words, and I'll look through and say, you know what, we're doing an extra chorus this week. I know that's not the way we didn't do it the last time. We didn't do it that way. So sometimes we'll change it in rehearsal. You know what, I'm sensing we should just do that chorus one more time. Or I'll write a note to the tech guy saying, or the slide person, hey, just we might do this, just to give them a little bit of a heads up. That helps. Sometimes the instrument, another distraction, sometimes the instrument's not in tune. The guitars will use their tuner. It's kind of funny. And it's like, okay, we're in tune, Dan. It's like, well, it's not in tune with the piano. Sorry, I can't tune my instrument to you, so I'm sorry, you're gonna have to tune with me. Nothing personal. I know your guitar tuner, I know your tuner says that we're sharp, but you know what? That's where the piano is, and we really need to sound good on this. So I'm gonna give the bass note. Okay, here's a G, here's a D. Yeah, let's tune to the piano. Thanks. All right, great. That's a good start where you are. I think sometimes another distraction is the worship leader is so engrossed, you know, looking up into the heavens or looking down at his feet, then it doesn't connect. You know, you're having conversation with people. You're hoping to lead them. So if I'm looking this way and having a conversation, say, hey, Tom, how you doing? It's like there's not a connection here. I mean, I need to look at you and say, hey, you know, hey, we're serving God together. We're worshiping God together. I'm leading you as a lead worshiper or whatever you want to call it. But I want to connect with you. Is it okay to close your eyes? Yes. But I wouldn't do this all the time or just be down here all the time. It's just like there's a disconnect. I think there would sometimes we do that. Sometimes the instruments can be too loud. We want to be sensitive to that. And people will always let us know if it's too loud. One of the times it can be too loud is like during prayer time. You know, it's like just to bring all those instruments down, just to be sensitive to that. Or the drums are not with the worship leader, who's ever leading. Unless you're the drummer and you're leading, then that's fine. Then you can blame yourself. You know, just staying, making sure you're together and, you know, that you've established a tempo. Sometimes drummers take things faster, slower. If they're, you know, maybe they're not practicing with a metronome. Or maybe I haven't practiced with a metronome and I'm feeling like I can rush things. If we get excited, we go faster. And it's like, ooh, this is fun. You know, and it's like, okay, just keep it steady. Just keep the music steady. That's okay. Cause that can be a distraction too. And we can lose the congregation and go, zoom. All right. We just kind of spun off the freeway. So that's something. Any questions at that point? Comments? Need more candy, don't you? I can tell. All right, that's fine. Well, I didn't know what the guy said, but man, I got a good sugar high. Okay, great. That's fun. All right. Number eight, playing creatively. Again, I have a master song list for overall variety because I'm looking to see what kind of psalms or hymns or spiritual songs that we have in the category. Am I using different keys? Are you always playing guitar keys? Now, I lean toward flat keys because I'm a keyboard player, and then the guitar players go, hey, Dan, you're playing a lot of flat keys. It's like, yeah, because it's easier for me. That's why. But I want to be careful that, you know, I'm not playing in all the same key all the time or only two keys because it can really be musically boring. And usually whatever key we're starting at will go up instead of going down in keys. I'm going up and I'm lifting. If you go higher in keys, wherever you start, but if you go up in terms of your worship set, it gives it a little bit more energy or progression rather than going down. Okay, it helps you feel like you're moving forward musically. I'm going to make sure I'm using a variety of rhythms and tempos. You know, fast, slow. I'm going to use 4-4, 3-4, 6-8, like immortal, invisible, immortal, invisible. So, you know, or if you're doing something that's stately, like holy, 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 that gives you a different feel. So keep the variety and mix going. If it's all slow, people will go to sleep. You know, if it's 8 o'clock Sunday morning, you know, people are not like, oh, I can't wait to sing on Sunday morning. I mean, they don't come with that energy or passion. But I have to be ready, no matter how I'm feeling, to create that energy and excitement and create that atmosphere for worship and encouraging people. I'm going to do a variety of styles. Sometimes you might do something in a little bit of a country style. Like we had tonight, or use a hymn, or use a little bit of a Latin feel, like with a conga or a djembe, which are not expensive. You can just add that to your budget next year. I may ask them if the church can just add, or a little shaker, you know, which is, you know, maybe $5. You can afford that even with the meager salary that they give you. Take it out of your tithe. No, I didn't say that. Or you're going to create some type of an African groove. I mean, that just that type of a feel. And mix up the feeling. And it adds some energy and excitement. People are going, yeah, okay, I like that. Now, you don't want to go wild. You don't go wild on people, because then you're really setting yourself up for criticism, and probably rightly so. But, you know, again, if it's something just a little different, it has just a little bit, you know, different beat, that's okay. Again, come back to the text. If people say, I don't like that style, it's like, you know what? There are 1,500 musical styles in the world. Which one would you like to do this week? You know, I mean, you have to be gracious to people in terms of responding. You know, we probably do 3 or 4, you know, maybe 5, you know, in terms of what our congregation does. We'll do a Latin piece every once in a while, or that kind of a feel. Maybe a little bit of light country, and we'll do some folk. You know, maybe just acoustic guitar, piano, that just a light feel. And we'll do contemporary with some driving electric guitars. We'll do that too, or we'll do something stately. Maybe we'll do something a cappella. So we just try to keep mixing it up. And I try to look at my set list and going, okay, are we just doing the same thing? Is it kind of boring? So sometimes taking a step back, that can help too. But I have a master list of songs that I'm looking at. What type of songs am I using too? Are they all, is everything praise? Or is everything slow? Is everything prayer? You know, is everything old? Is everything new? Are there testimony songs? Is there a good variety between head and heart songs? Heavy, good theology versus praising God in an easy song that people can really remember this week. Man, God is good all the time. Just something that just is really kind of catchy. It's like, you know, that's going to lock in this week. So again, this, as we're teaching the whole counsel of God, you may want to write a new song. If you do, then pass it by somebody first. That's just a good litmus test. Pass it by your pastor. Somebody else will go, hey, what do you think about this song? Will this work? And again, variety within an individual song. Maybe you have the men sing one verse or women sing a different verse, or a section. That's okay. In some congregations, they do that all the time. But maybe you never do that, so that might be an idea. Or you might have an instrumental section, or it might be all in unison. Usually I tell my praise singers, like the first time, like sing in unison, and the second time sing in parts. It just breaks it up a little bit, just as a variety, instead of singing, singing parts all the time. Or maybe the ladies are going to carry this, or maybe the soloist is going to introduce this new song. Just try to mix it up a little bit if you think about that. I try to never do more than one new song per service, because I think people just check out. Because as people learn a new song, then they're listening to it, and they're not necessarily engaging. Whereas other songs, you want it to be comfortable for people coming in. So I'm going to try to, and I'm usually going to package a song one that we know, then a new one, and then come back out of it with another one that they do know. So it's just, I'm going to introduce it. And then the next week, I'm going to bring that new song back. I'm going to bring it back right away. And then what I might do is skip another week and then bring it back again. So now it's within our, now the praise band and the worship leader, you know it, because you spent time with it. But realize that other people, they're going to get a 3 or 4 minute section, and it's like it's gone. It's like, I didn't quite catch it. So the next week you want to reinforce that. If it's worthwhile singing, so then do it again and make sure that people have that and put that as part of your repertoire list. And then I might come back to it another 6 weeks later. Again, so there's that planning out process where I'm thinking about it rather than just looking at a blank page, that I'm being very intentional about what we're teaching and where we're going for that. You know, again, you can change up your setup of musicians, what it looks like, how many you have. There's drama and lighting, of course. I'm sure that you do. But remember that creativity isn't something that we do. It's a way we do something. So we want to magnify God, not just to be creative for creative sake, but really to honor God with what we're doing. And I keep a list of creative ideas to review on the back of your page, on the back of the very bottom, I put a list together for a seminar that I did here last month of 203 creative service ideas. Now it's on inspireworship.com website, and I made a couple copies, but it's 8 pages long. It's 4 pages front and back, so I didn't make copies for everybody. Sorry. Because we wanted to save a couple trees. But anyway, what I've done is take it and put it in multiple categories. So everything that I've ever seen or heard in terms of prelude, I've listed like 15 things. And then prayer, like how many different ways have I seen people pray? Stand, sit, pray together, pray in groups, pray in silence. I mean, just everything I've ever seen or heard. And then how to do songs, preaching things, drama, dance, creating different things. So what I did was try to put everything that I know, again, there's actually over 203, it's more like 276 or something at this point. And I put it all in a document. And if you can, and don't do all of them this Sunday because it really, really would drive you crazy. No, but if you can use one or two things out of there, then great. Then that's what it's that it's there for. You go, you know what? We haven't done that for a while, or I never really thought about doing communion that way. About, oh, we always serve people. Maybe we'll just have people come down and dip the bread into the juice and take it. It's like, well, I mean, you certainly want to check with your pastor. It's like, are we going to do that? Or, you know, what if families take communion together? Or what if people just do it spontaneously? Or maybe we just do it in a different way. So, again, I just try to list lots of different ways that we've done things or I've seen done, and I hope that that document will be helpful to you in some way. I've also listed some books and websites on the back for you to check out, some different ways of hearing some hymns. I know one of the questions that we talked about earlier, as we were talking about what we're going to discuss, is some different ways of finding some new hymns and some new styles. And there's a number of different places that you can find updated hymn arrangements without completely alienating your congregation. Just bringing it up to date a little bit if you're interested in that. So I listed some of those things since that was a question that we talked about. The next thing, number nine, is plan realistically. Again, how long is this going to last? And again, I use a timesheet. I review the service order with the tech people and the praise team, even though we've talked about it at rehearsal, right before the service with everybody to make sure everybody knows where they're going to be. Singers, you're going to be on stools for this song during communion, and then you're going to come forward. Okay, let's just be reminded of that. It's better to plan a fewer songs peacefully than a lot frantically. So plan that realistically. Again, when you're planning your time, make sure you've included everything. The testimonies, the prayer, communion, scripture, announcements, comments that you're going to make. It's like, oh, I just feel inspired to give them. Well, if I don't write out my comments as to what I'm going to say in 4 or 5 sentences, then I ramble. I just know that's just what I do. And Bob Coughlin also says that his pastor told him that. I think it's easy for us as worship leaders to get up in front and think, you know what, that didn't take long. He's like, that was 6 minutes. And all of a sudden, we just, you know, we're kind of filling in words and we don't really know what we're saying. But if we write them out and then, whether you read them or whether you've just got them in your head and you've practiced them well, which is what I try to do, is I'll read them, I'll go over and over, and it's like, okay, I've got the concept and now I'm ready to say them. But I've got it very concisely so that I'm really honoring people's times and saying things well. Also, in being realistic, do you have the musicians and the talent to pull it off? I mean, are you trying to do some big conga line thing and you only have a shaker? I mean, it's just not going to work, you know. If you're trying to do something, you know, huge that really requires a full brass section and all you have is a third grade trumpet player, you know, that may not be the best thing to try for this week. So be realistic. I think sing in practical key ranges too. Usually the A below middle C to the next D above the next. That's a good range for people. I think, you know, what is the average truck driver as he walks in? Is he going to sing? Now, the guys that we hear on the radio are usually high tenors, and I could list them all. I could list five, like bang, bang, and I will tell you because I don't want this to be on tape. But anyway, you know who they are because you hear them on the radio. But you know what? All these guys sing high, and they sing well. But you know what? I can't sing that high. And there's no way at 8:30 or 9 o'clock on Sunday morning that the people in the congregation are going to be able to sing G's and A's, which are typical. I'm high. I mean, I can sing that high, but all I would do is drive people away. It would not be a pretty sight. So stay in practical key ranges, and if you need to drop it, you know, praise charts, if you're buying from praise charts or whether you're creating your own arrangement, just put it in comfortable key levels. Now, I'm not saying that's a complete lock. Sometimes I'll go to low A flat. If I need to go to an E flat or an E, sometimes if I need to touch it. But don't just hang up there high. It's like, because people just go, they'll just drop down. And then you lose the integrity and the energy of the song, you know, by doing that. So that's just something just to keep practically. And I make sure that the songs that are either our guys are listening to it on iTunes or I've told them where the music is or I've given them a CD, say, here's the song, here's what we're trying to emulate, you know, here's the rhythm, drummers, listen to this. And I'm not going to write out everything for them. The guy said, okay, listen to it. And then I'm going to make sure that I'm prepared, that I know where that, okay, drum, there's a lick in there, there's a fill right before we go into the chorus. So I'm well prepared, and they should be well prepared in coming. You know, because we want to be excellent for what God has for us that morning. And then 10, plan for the long haul. Keep the big picture in mind, not just Sunday. And again, I keep a master list. What I have is I have all my songs alphabetical with the key on the left-hand side. So mine starts out, it says, big letter C, a mighty fortress is our God. Next one is F, all hail the power. Okay, parenthesis, hymnal. Next, F/G, because it's F and G, all hail the power, Paul Balazs, contemporary arrangement. So whatever you want to, so like, okay, it reminds me I have two arrangements. So if I want to do something that's a little more stately, then I know I've got this in the hymnal. If I'm doing it from this arranger, it's going to be in this key. And I've got everything listed, so I'm not going, I wonder what song would be good. Like if I want to we'll go to F, and then it's like, you know what, I want to lift. Where's a good song that goes to G or maybe a related key? Maybe I'm going to B flat. So I've got all the keys there. So if I choose to go by key, then I can see that. If I'm looking at my song list and I want to go like F and I'm going down to E, it's like, really better to go E to F. So is that really a good choice, a good song selection, or do I at least know how I'm going to get there if I, other than just stopping and starting the song again? Because that just feels like there's a little disconnect, you know, once we get on a train in terms of the service. So I keep it alphabetically. You can keep it by, some guys keep it by tempo, whether it's fast, medium, slow. Again, I use themes. I use cross references. And I'll write down scripture references on the sheet in planning too. In terms of scriptures that are going to relate to that. So I'm keeping those themes all the time as to where we're going. And then I keep a record of the songs, and then I'm going to review, right, what are the new songs that we've done recently, and I'm going to look back in the last month. In my briefcase that I saw, briefcase that I carry with me. I mean, I've got 6 months of worship services from January with me that I'm carrying all the time. Or keep it in my office, but I usually am carrying at least 3 or 4 months worth, because that's kind of my second office. I've got that, and I'm thinking, I haven't thought, thinking about that idea. It's like, have we done that song in a while? Then I can flip back through, or maybe you keep it, you keep it electronically because you're a lot more organized than I am. I've got to flip through pages and go, I think we did that song about March, but I'm trying to keep songs in good rotation, so I know what we're teaching. And again, I'm going to teach about the gospel and Christ's finished work on the cross, God's character and his works. I'm going to make sure that the lyrics are biblically faithful, that we're not getting in a musical rut, that we're not missing any themes. I mean, those are important too. And again, I'm moving things. I'm working ahead. Here's the 20-year rule. If someone was born in your church, grew up in your church, how well would they know God from the past 20 years that they've been sitting where you're sitting? Would they know more about God's character? Would they know more about his love and his grace and mercy because of the songs that we've taught? Would they know that? It's good. It's just a good reminder to me of what am I teaching rather than the latest hit type thing. It keeps me a little bit more centered. Would they know him as holy and powerful, creator, sustainer, redeemer? Would they know his word better? Am I singing God's word? Am I putting that into people's lives and hearts? I want them to know that. Finally, to be an effective worship leader is going to require you to have a strong relationship with God, good working relationship with your pastor, a sensitivity to people, and good musicianship. I think you do those things and you do effective planning, I think God will work in your services, will work in your heart in a deeper way. You're going to feel more confident walking and going, you know what, this is my best offering that I can give to God. David said in 1 Samuel 24, I will not offer to the Lord that which costs me nothing. So in terms of our time, in terms of our talent, in terms of our treasure, am I offering God my best? That's what I want. I know that's what you want too. All right? Let's pray together. Father, we do want to give you our best. And we want to know you in a great way, as holy and powerful, as a creator, a sustainer for people that are going through rough times. Father, for each one that's here, I'd ask that you bless them in a rich way for their service planning. As they work together with pastors, as pastors work together with their worship leaders and the rest of their staff, as we try to communicate in some way your infiniteness. Father, I pray that something that we've talked about tonight or shared together would be helpful to encourage us, to challenge us, to know you in a deeper way, to love you in a deeper way, and to serve you in a deeper way. And so I pray that you would just give us the wisdom and the insight from your Spirit and by your grace to serve you the best that we can all of our days that you give us here on earth. Thanks for the time that we can spend together and for your goodness in each one of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Just want to give you an update. What's coming up next with Worship Link? We next month, June 19th, we'll be having we're calling it like a worship jam. It's kind of like a practice jam session, we're calling it. Worship coach Dave Hellmuth, who has a ministry, you call it. He coaches worship teams. He'll just come alongside your team and work with you for a week or a month or 2 months or whatever it takes. He's volunteered his time on June 19th to, you know, meet with us as a worship team. I'm going to try and get my entire team there, and we're going to practice. I think we're going to try to do two songs, kind of a good selection of two songs that are maybe newer or maybe a little challenging that we can work together. And, you know, my team gets in a rut from time to time, or, you know, we get a certain way about our practicing that, you know, just having somebody come in like Dan or, you know, some of the other people here can just give us a new insight. And Dave is just the perfect guy for that. He does this for a living, and he's going to come and share with us, just walk us through a practice time. June 19th, it's a Saturday morning, 9 to 12. We're going to order pizza afterwards if, whoever wants to hang out, we'll get some pizza. In July, we have another event. July 19th, actually, we're going to do a guitar session, just have a couple guitar teachers do kind of a worship team guitar class. So, we didn't get that nailed down yet. We're coordinating with a couple different churches. We're trying to do it in the Effort area, but you know, that'll be up on the website, on the blog there next, hopefully a couple days, next week or so. Check out the resources on the back of the page. There's a whole bunch of books and websites, and feel free to contact us anytime if you have questions or want to get involved in some way. So blessings to you guys. Thanks for coming. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Lanco Worship Link Training. Join us each month as we get together to inspire, connect, and equip local worship teams. Find out when the next event is at lancoworshiplink.blogspot.com. And as always, stay linked.